With our four banners, our second one is discerning, if you'll recall. And two elements of discerning is that we do it in community. And so that's why we're doing this. We want to have these conversations in community. And the other one is that we're discerning through circumstances. What are the clues that God is giving us? And as I just look at the big picture of our church, I just feel like there's this convergence moment coming that God is doing things, and so it's appropriate for us to be having these conversations right now. I hope you enjoyed yesterday. Boy, what a great day to be outside washing cars, cutting lawns, and doing all those good kinds of things. It's a clue that summer is almost upon us, and it was our goal to have these conversations before the summer break comes. And so we intentionally, after our AGM, said we want to have three table talk conversations, and we wanted them complete by the end of May, because we know once we get into June, we start traveling a little more and camping and all those other things. And so this is our third one this morning. Our conversation today is about facilities, and the reason we want to do this before the summer is we're just laying foundations right now. We're not going to talk about a particular building or anything like that today. We're not at that point. We're laying a foundation. Are we going in the right direction? And should an opportunity of any kind come up, do our leadership teams feel like we've had enough conversation with the church so that we know we're heading in the right direction? So these are very much foundational conversations this morning. Whenever the point comes, somewhere in the future, where we'll have some kind of a staffing decision or a facility opportunity or anything like that, we will come back to you, but we're not at that point. We're simply laying foundations right now, and so we want to do that again this morning. But before we do that, I want to give two quick updates of the things that we've been working on since our last table talk discussion 2 weeks ago, where we were talking about our staffing strategy. So two quick updates. First is with regard to our office administrator position. We've posted this position. It's on our website, it's on the BCMB website, and it's also on the Northview classified ads page. And so, as we've said before, plan A, if we could just do things the way we wanted to, it would be to fill this position by the end of May, preferably with someone from within the church that knows us, that knows our culture, and that we would take the month of June to shadow and train the new individual. So that's plan A, hiring from within the church. But if we're not able to hire within the church, and if we hire someone outside of the church, things get a little bit complicated. Because since they would likely want to meet me, and since I would likely want to interview them, and since I'm going on sabbatical 1 week from today, that window of opportunity to hire someone outside of the church is closing until I come back in September. So that leads us to plan B. Plan B would be to have someone, again, inside the church, fill this position to cover the summer months. This could be a temporary hire until we're able to pick up the search again in September. Now, if we can't fill the position with a temporary worker inside the church for the summer, that leads us to plan C. And plan C is that Carrie would continue to work on an hourly basis just to cover the essentials. All that to say, the office will be covered one way or the other over the summer months, and there will be someone here. But if there is someone within the church that would think about plan A or plan B, and if there's someone who's just getting that little tap on the shoulder from the Holy Spirit saying, this would be a good time to talk to Carrie or Pastor Norm, we would love to have that conversation this week. So I'm just going to leave that with you with that update. Second, quick update, we talked about succession planning for a new lead pastor. And since succession planning, this is kind of new territory for us as a church. We've not done this before, and so we have to think our way through this. And so I've created a couple of documents that will help guide our succession planning protocol. What we're trying to do is anticipate the types of questions that a candidate would ask of us, and then to be proactive in answering those questions ahead of time. And so I have on our website, I'm going to encourage you to go look at it, but not today, not right now. Discipline yourselves. Let's stay in the moment. But we have on our website prominently paste jobs openings link. And on that, I have posted under the succession pastor a succession protocol document that outlines our thinking. Second, there's a facility transition document that lets any candidate know that we're in this process of discovery, and also the job description. So we're not posting these on any other job sites websites right now. This is all internal, and it's in preparations for the fall. Now again, I'm going to be on sabbatical for a number of months. And so over the summer months, the elders are going to begin to form a search committee and put the foundational pieces in place while I'm away. But what we're doing right now is basically what we're calling a very soft launch of this position. And what that means is that I've sent an email to Reg Taves, who is our BCMB executive director, and to Cam Stewart, our Canadian director, and just basically explained this is the process that they're in, inviting them just to look at our website, look at the documents that we have, and that if they have anyone that they think is suitable, that they would point them to us. Again, these are preparation steps that came out of our discussion 2 weeks ago. So with those two updates out of the way, let's turn our attention to our facilities discussion this morning. Now, as you know, we entered the new year with a study on the book of Ezra. And if you'll recall, the setting of Ezra, the setting of the book, is really about facilities. It's about restoring the temple after Israel and Judah were released from captivity in Babylon. They were brought back to Jerusalem, and they were commissioned by God to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And I felt led to teach this book during this season of our church. And there's a part of me that kind of hopes that this is a clue that God will soon be providing a new temple for us. But I would also confess to you that I tend to do this wishful thinking kind of anticipation from God, and so don't read too much into that. It's just my wishful thinking. But regardless of the timing of the new facilities, which is completely out of our hands, I do feel that there are some lessons from Ezra that are important for us right now as we prepare for new facilities. And I want to review two of those lessons with you very briefly this morning. The first is this. You will recall that God was more concerned with rebuilding a covenant people than he was with rebuilding the temple. If there is no faithful covenant people, there's no reason to have a temple. And the story in the first half of the book of Ezra is really about the formation of a covenant people. It's just happening in the context of rebuilding the temple. It has been my priority over the past 7 years to focus on our formation as a kingdom people. We've been building wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. Our identity as a church is not tied to this building. In fact, I would suggest that the pending end of our lease has been a gift to us because we have been forced to establish our identity in Christ, that our location is actually in Christ rather than in any particular facility. We've been focusing on spiritual formation that leads to mission. We've been trying to do the things that Jesus did, living distinctly kingdom lives, inviting people to enter the kingdom of God. And our pursuit of these things has been far from perfect, but it has been our priority. We are seeking first the kingdom of God. And just like with Israel, without a faithful covenant people, without a faithful kingdom people, there's no reason to have a facility. Abbotsford does not need another church. If that church is going to be filled of people who simply want a convenient place to show up for church. But Abbotsford does need churches that will demonstrate the presence of Christ and His kingdom. A church where we invite people to enter the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And it's because we seek first the kingdom, because we are striving to be a kingdom people, that I hold a deep confidence that God will provide a facility for us. As long as we keep first things first, in the words of Jesus, all these other things will be added to you. And that leads to the second observation from Ezra. Not long after the people completed the construction of the temple, they began to lose sight of being a covenant people. They became complacent. You see, the project was done. The focus was lost. And they became a people who showed up for temple, going through the motions, rather than being the covenant people that God had called them to be in the first place. And so Ezra had to come and lead them through another whole season of repentance and of reform to put first things first. Facilities are like any gift that God gives to us. We can either receive His good gifts for ourselves, spend it on ourselves, or we can be stewards of God's gifts for God's kingdom purposes. We could move in and relax because finally the waiting is over. Isn't God good to us to provide for us? Or we could dig in and get to work because we have a new tool in our toolbox. And our response could be, see how God seeks the lost in this new place. And so when you think about a new facility, when you imagine us in a new place, what comes to mind? Is it a place that we can settle in, where the waiting is over, the searching is over, the unknowing is finally over? Or is it a place to dig in, because the work of ministry has a new harvest field? How will God seek the lost in this new setting? Does that cross your mind? How will God's kingdom come to Abbotsford? How will His will be done? And can we begin to make that the object of our prayer, not so much a church for us, but a church for our city? I'll say it again. Abbotsford does not need another church if that church is just a comfortable place for people to attend. But Abbotsford does need churches that will demonstrate the presence of Christ and of His kingdom, and who will invite people to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Dave Hebert, who's the chair of our Facilities Task Force, to come up and share some of the work that the task force has been doing with preparing to lead us to a new facility. And I want you to listen carefully to the mission intent behind this preparation, and how the work of the task force has been not just to find a place for us to meet, but a place that can be the kind of church that Abbotsford needs. Dave, please.
Thanks, Norm. Is this thing on? Yeah, okay. So I have the privilege of serving on the task force, the facility task force, with a couple of other people. Norm is on that task force, Ralph is on the task force, and Daryl. I think everybody knows who those gentlemen are. And we started off the group with one more individual. Alyssa Scott was actually, she was part of our first I think first meeting, two meetings. And then, of course, as you know, Nick and Melissa moved to Calgary. And so we are four, soon to be 65 plus members on the task force. So we don't want to dominate that demographic, because that demographic isn't going to be here long into the new facilities. And so for the longer term, we need some younger people. And Norma's going to extend the invitation when we're done here. If there are nominations or volunteers of the younger demographic, and maybe even somebody from the other gender, I think that would be helpful for us to have a more balanced perspective of where the congregation is at as well. So just kind of as a start. When we first met to talk about task force, one of the things, you know, we're all problem solvers, and so one of the first things was, you know, where's a facility? And you know, I know one of the members of the task force talked with a couple of people, you know, what kind of facilities are out there. And the first question was, what do you need? Like, what are you looking for? And which was great, because it took us back to, you know, what is this really all about? And so today, I'm not coming here to, as Norma's already indicated, I'm not coming here to say there's a candidate facility and this, we've figured out how to get there and how to afford it and all that kind of stuff. But today is really about setting out what's the strategy. And so we worked on a vision, a mission, and a mandate, which in other words, you could say, where are we going? Why is it important to get there? And what's the plan to get there? We've fleshed that out as a task team. We've had time to spend some time with the elder board to ensure that there's support from the leadership. And for that, and that we all agree, we've made a couple little edits out of that. And today is about sharing it with you, not to come and tell you that we've got the magic, but to get your input. And as Norm said earlier, this is also about what are we praying for? What's the discernment that we're looking for from Christ? And so today is about inviting you to join us in prayer for clear guidance. And as Ralph mentioned at one of the first meetings, to wait for that God moment. And we've had, in the Mountain Park community church life, we've had lots of God moments for people that have been here for over the years. And we're waiting for that God moment. What is that direction from the Lord as well? And so anyway, I'll jump into what we set out as vision. And I've got a couple of bullets for each of these points, and then after you'll get an opportunity to speak to it. Does the vision, mission, mandate resonate with you? Are there some guidance points from you? Because I think that's the other part, important process. But it's really to share where are we going, why are we going there, and then also for us all to be praying for the Lord's wisdom in that. So the first vision statement is to secure a facility or a building that enables Mountain Park Community Church's congregation, youth, children, hospitality ministries, journey of becoming wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. So you know that's one of the vision statements that we have as a church. And so we're looking to secure a facility or a space that enables Mountain Park to be able to do that. The second bullet is to envision appropriate meeting, office, workspaces for Mountain Park's congregation, leadership, staff, and volunteers. So there's no point in getting a facility if it doesn't embrace that. Third is to establish a facility that attracts and invites the community to personally experience Mountain Park's vision of following, discernment, showing mercy, and living in community. So again, this vision, what I'm reading here isn't Mountain Park's vision. This is to facilitate Mountain Park's vision. I'll go on to mandate. Why is it important? Mountain Park requires a physical space for the current and the next generation congregation to meet for worship, fellowship, and equipping to live out the mission. Next point, Mountain Park requires a visible presence that welcomes neighbors to join us in living community. So when we invite people to our to join our family, where do we meet? Where can we direct them to? Mountain Park is committed to a physical presence after the expiration of its February 29th lease agreement. So that's a real reality for us. We've got a lease that's coming due at the, in February of 2029, and for anybody that's in the building industry or construction industry or knows anything about securing facilities, we've got 3.5 years. That's not a long time. It takes time, and so we're on that journey. So I'll go on to the plan. We're going to seek out a space, a location that is easily accessible, welcoming, and in proximity to Mountain Park's target ministry community. We're going to anticipate all ministry activities, including access, durability required to support Mountain Park's current and future generation ministries. We're going to spend some time assessing Mountain Park's financial resources, capital, and to spend on capital and future capacity, which is operating cost, to support the cost of the new facility. One of the commitments that we want to make, and that is that we don't put Mountain Park into a situation that we're hinged with a financial burden that we can't afford. So we're going to spend some time assessing some Mountain Park's financial activities to do that. Extend an invitation for like-minded congregations to partner with Mountain Park. And you've heard that comment before. That may be a reality for us to go forward. And so we're going to be extending those invitations. And finally, we're going to consider all options for facilities, whether that's new, rent, merge, etc. So we're not coming here and saying this is how it's going to look going forward. We're praying for the Lord's discernment, and we're going to look at all the options. I'm going to ask Ralph, Daryl, and Norm to come up here with me. And so this is a time when you get an opportunity to ask some questions. And I think all of these gentlemen are going to be joining us here to be able to respond to them.
So again, before we go to table talk, we want to see, are there any questions that you have just on clarifying things that you may be thinking of? There may be other people thinking about those same things, and it would be helpful to have some of those questions asked before we go to the table discussions this morning. So is there anything that you would ask of the task force? Yes, Janet.
There was one comment there about the target ministry. Is that a geographic or a demographic, or what kind of a target is that?
That's a great question. So we don't have that. What this is saying is this is the work we need to do. What is our target? Do we actually try to target a particular neighborhood? If we do, that really limits us to what facilities are in that. And so we have to think about what is our target. Is it a demographic? Is it a... I'm not going to get into a lot of the details, but that's the question. You've asked the right question. And I just don't have an answer for you yet. But yeah, so this is the work that we need to do. Thanks, Janet. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make an additional comment. A couple of things. One is the question in regards to the money that we had set aside for our future facility. There may have been a bit of a misunderstanding that money was only available for purchase. That is not the case. It can be used for rent, for lease, for purchase. It's restricted for a future facility of Mountain Park, but it isn't purchase only. Now, Dave alluded to some comment I made in one of our meetings, and I just wanted to expand it. Lord, I think, is prompting me to share this. And that's in reference to God moments. Let me just walk you through a little bit of history of Mountain Park and how strongly I believe in this. When it came to the purchase of this property, when it came to the public hearing, when it came to dealing with fisheries and wondering if we were going to get a building permit, those were all God moments where God answered our prayer and helped us through that. When we built that ministry center, the school board supplied some of the portables and all the services that came down there. That bill was around $200,000 that we owed the school district. During that time period, we had a discussion. Would they be interested in the chairs, the tables, and the kitchen equipment? And they said yes. And then they said, we'll call it even. Now, if anybody knows the value of these things here and what we owed, that saved us about $150,000. That was a God moment. When I got the phone call from the school district interested in buying this building and then arranging a 25-year lease at $1 a year, that was a God moment. So I'm saying all this, I have absolutely no doubt we are going to have another God moment when it comes to the future facility. The Lord has proven to us to be faithful, and he will be faithful again. So that's just something I wanted to share.
Questions, clarifying questions? Great. Oh, sorry.
As important as the facility is, what does the scriptures say that we are as a church? It says we are the church, and so it's us that attract people to the church, to Jesus. And as much as a facility is needed, we totally agree. It's us as a church that draws people to Jesus, as an encouragement to us.
In other words, let's not lose our focus. And this can't be about a building. If we make this about a building, and I got to tell you, I've been through a couple of church building construction programs, and when you go through it, there's a letdown because people are so focused on the building that they lose sight of why we did all this work. And so it's so important for us to go into this with this mindset that what we're after is a tool for ministry, a place where people can come to know Christ. Any other questions or comments? Appreciate Ralph's comment about the finances. Those are actually, it's called board-directed funds. And the board that directs it is our church board. So we could change, let's say someone gives us a building for free and there's no cost. Wouldn't that be nice? Now, that's not going to happen. But then what do we do with the money? Because it's directed for facilities. We could say, nope, we're going to redirect it for missions. It's completely within our control, but it is set aside for facilities. It could be if we find a place, we use it for renovations, or there's all kinds of ways to use it for facilities. And as Ralph so greatly pointed out, it's not just for purchase. All right, are we ready to go to the tables? I see nodding. So if you would take some time, and again, the two questions we're going to ask you on the screen, how do the mission, vision, how does that resonate with you? Are we on the right page? Because again, if we're not going in the direction that the congregation is going, we need to hear that. And then secondly, anything you would add to this? Is there something that's not on there that you feel like should be part of the mandate of the facilities, a task force going forward? So those two questions. Oh, Melissa.
So all that information on what the vision is, the mandate, and the mission, is that going to be on our church's website? Because it was a lot to go through, and I was madly trying to take notes, but okay.
I'll answer that question. So we're going to put it up here on the screen. So this is a summary of the statements that Dave made. And we have printouts of everything that Dave said so that you can have those as well. Where's Carrie? Carrie, can you... Oh, you're doing childcare. I will come and get them, and we'll hand them out. But let's go to the tables now, and we'll let these guys take a seat for now. Yeah, let's take about... Sorry, Rudy.
I've been through this process with another church plant, and I think it's really, really good and important what you're doing. I think it's important to remember that without faith, you cannot please God. And so what this is doing is it's putting the emphasis on what is it that God's calling us to do, not unnecessarily on a type of building or that kind of thing. What is God calling us to do? And then when God tells us or we feel like God is telling something, then we act on that in faith.
So keeping first things first. Thanks so much, Rudy. Let me just wrap us up in prayer. Father, thank you for just the encouragement that you are to this body of Christ in this place. Thank you for, as Ralph said, the many God moments we have seen in our history, that you have been such a tangible part of our story in the past, and our desire is to recognize your hand, the God moments that you have for us in the future. And so we pray, Father, for your blessing, your direction. We pray for discernment, both in community and circumstantially, that we would recognize your hand at work when it's before us. And we just entrust this all to you in Jesus' name. Amen.